You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys, listen to me. Listen to me. I need all your eyes. This is what we train for. This is what we work for. This is who we are. We came out and we found a way. We always said it would not be pretty. We'll win the game. We'll come back in here and have a good time to figure out how we can get better. This is what I need. This is what I need. Everybody listen. You know, we need to win one moment at a time.
Welcome back, everybody, to a breaking news edition of the Junkyard Dogcast. I'm your host, Jordan Hill. We got Kip Adams and Ben Wolt with us on this Friday morning as we get together to talk about Georgia's latest commitment. Earlier on Friday morning, Georgia picked up Evans offensive lineman Mason Short, 6'5 and a half, 305 pound lineman, four-star, former Alabama commit. He pledged to Georgia, chose the Bulldogs over finalists including Clemson, Ohio State, and Kentucky. So we're going to jump right into this, talk about Mason, talk about what this means for Georgia in the 2025 class. And I'm going to start with you, Ben. Just tell us what you know about Mason and from what you got to see, why he decided that he's going to go to Athens.
Well, I think this is a commitment that's been a long time coming, really. And when I say a long time coming, I don't even mean necessarily just the last 3 months when he stepped off his Alabama commitment. I mean, this is a guy that Georgia has been recruiting since his freshman year. He's a guy that's been in Athens, you know, dozens of times. And I mean, he's joked with me on multiple occasions that he could give better tours of the Georgia facilities than the recruiting staffers could give him. He's been there so many times. And so I think that this was someone that Georgia was going to be relentless with, even when he committed to Alabama almost 2 years ago now. When he was committed to Nick Saban's staff, it did not stop Kirby Smart. It did not stop Stacey Searles from communicating with him as regularly as they could, getting him on campus as regularly as they could. And when Nick Saban retired in January, I think that really was a recruiting reset for Mason Short. I mean, I think it was an opportunity for him to say, all right, this is not the same place that I committed to. I've had other schools that I've had really close connections with throughout this process. I might have committed really early in the process anyways, so it might be a good idea for me to take a step back and reevaluate everything. Well, the day that he decommitted from Alabama, Kirby Smart was dropping his helicopter at Evans High School that same day. And I think that that was not a coincidence. I think that Georgia knew where its standing with Mason Short was at the time. I mean, that was the same day that I put in my crystal ball pick for him to Georgia, because I think that the writing was kind of on the wall at that point in time. But all of that said, Clemson and Ohio State did not go away from this without a challenge. I mean, Dabo Swinney was in the next day. He's visited Clemson. Just about every time that he's visited Georgia, he's visited Clemson right around the corner as well. That was right up until really last week's visit to Georgia, when he came for a couple of days, hung out with coaches, let them know that he was officially going to be committing to Georgia. And really, it's been since then. He's been waiting about a week to announce it to the public. And, you know, this morning he, with a little bit of Ray Charles, he announced that he was coming to Georgia over Ohio State and Clemson. I think Clemson was really the program that came in second in all of this. I think Dabo Swinney and then Matt Luke as well did a great job in that recruitment to make it competitive, because I think when he decommitted from Alabama, Georgia was going to be pretty impossible to beat. I mean, he even told me about a conversation that he had with Ohio State coaches back in January when he decommitted from Alabama. And he said, you know, they called me within hours of decommitting from Alabama, and I had a relationship with those coaches, and I wanted to continue checking out Ohio State, but they called me and point blank kind of asked, like, we want to recruit you, we want to come down and see you, but we want to know that you're really with it and that basically anybody other than Georgia has a chance. And he let them know at the time, like, other people have a chance, but Georgia is a place that's been home for me and a place that I've had a really close connection with coaches for a while. So really it was going to be tough for anyone other than Georgia to win out in that recruitment. And, you know, that's sort of the backstory on how Georgia landed Mason Short, who, you know, really talented offensive lineman that could probably play multiple spots on the offensive line.
So this is Georgia's sixth commitment in the 2025 class, the first offensive lineman. Kip, what's your read on Georgia getting Mason Short, obviously the first offensive lineman in this class, and just how big this is as Georgia continues to add pieces for the 2025 cycle?
Yeah, it's you don't see a lot of you haven't seen a lot of prospects coming out of the Augusta area. I'll go with Evans as being part of the Augusta metropolitan area. I'm trying to think back. You know, you had guys like Arnold Harrison back in the day, Kendra Bell, if you want to go real far back, Sanders Cummings I covered. Corvey Irvin, I think, is another one. That's about all I can kind of think of as guys that, you know, went to Georgia from the area. But you know what? Small school, big school. It really doesn't matter. This is someone who obviously brings a lot to the table in terms of measurables, in terms of physical style of play. And I mean, when I look at Mason in Short, I'm thinking this guy could be another Tate Ratledge, just a guy that's playing offensive tackle, playing left tackle in high school, but probably is going to be on the right side of the offensive line in college. And someone who I think, again, physically compares well to Tate Ratledge. He's just a point of attack strength guy that, you know, does a great job driving the pile, and I think is going to provide Stacey Searles with a lot of you know, versatility. And I mean, that's just always paramount when you're trying to get offensive linemen. If you can get, you know, five guys that are 6'5", 6.5", 300 pounds, you know, in his offensive line class every cycle, then I think Stacey Searles will just be, you know, fist pumping nonstop. And I think he's obviously real happy right now landing an in-state guy and kind of getting that foundation for the class. You need to get four offensive linemen every cycle at least. And I think that's kind of Stacey Searles came back to Georgia, and that's exactly what he's doing. So I don't think that Georgia's anywhere close to being done, but I think this is a great start and an outstanding prospect. And if, for those who watched Mason's commitment announcement, obviously I think he's also someone who's just really grounded and kind of focused on doing things the right way. He just seems like a yes sir, no sir guy. And those are just kind of the traits where you want those guys that are going to keep their head down, get into the program, and just kind of focus on the winning culture that Kirby Smart has at Georgia. So I think that this is exactly the kind of guy you want in your locker room. And again, comparing to Tate Ratledge, I mean, that's kind of the guy that you know, everyone looks to at Georgia right now. So I just think he has that kind of potential and a lot of upside as well, because I still think he's got, you know, a lot of technique-wise, a lot of room for improvement. And I think he was obviously going to get more mobile and stronger once he gets into Georgia's program.
He, off the top of my head, becomes basically the third guy out of Nick Saban's retirement that winds up at Georgia as a result of that. Travarius Robinson, Jake Pope, and now Mason Short. And you mentioned the commitment ceremony. Hey, shout out to the Short family. I enjoyed getting to see. Mom was really, really struggling to keep it together, which I can only imagine, you know, what this has been like for her. while they were like saying a prayer before the commitment, his brother like throws his hand around his arm around Mason. I was like, you know, pulling at my heartstrings watching them get ready to announce that. But super, super cool to see that. I'm sure they are absolutely thrilled. And Kip talked about, you know, hearing from some of his coaches there at Evans. I mean, he seems like, you know, I think it's cliche when we get on these shows and talk about these kids and, oh, they're so great. But, I mean, they had nothing but good things to say about Mason Short. I think if you're a Georgia fan, you should be super, super excited about landing him and seeing what he's going to be able to do in the years to come. Before we go to a break, I'm going to throw it back to you, Ben. The question now with everybody is going to be, who are we watching next? And it may be an answer we don't really know. But are there a few recruits that you're sort of keeping an eye out for now that Mason Short is in the fold?
Well, I think that the June timeframe is going to be when things get really crazy. That, you know, May 31st, when really there's May 8th, 17th to 19th, there's going to be an official visit weekend that I think certainly news could come out of that as well. I mean, I think if we're looking at people that are trending in the right direction to Georgia at this time, I mean, I think along the offensive line, Parkview offensive lineman Cortez Smith is someone that could probably play center at the next level. He's someone that was on campus this past week and is trending in the right direction. You know, you look at wide receivers. I mean, Travis Smith, CJ Wiley, Taylen Taylor, a bunch of guys that we've written about and talked about that I think things are moving in a positive direction. When it comes to specific timing, I think that's where it becomes a little bit less clear. So when we talk about who's the next commitment, I know that's the question people always want. Who's going to be the next one? It's like, for instance, with Mason Short, and I know we're going to talk a little bit more about Matt Zollers. People were asking me a few weeks ago, who do you think to be the next guy to commit? And I thought that Mason Short could be a possibility, but I didn't know he was going to have an April 5th commitment date. And I thought, knowing that Zollers was going to be committing on the 4th, like, it was more likely that, you know, if you're thinking who's the next guy, you know, I didn't know that it was going to be Mason Short because there was a big announcement coming ahead of time before that. So all that to say, like, when it comes to specific timing and who's next, I think that becomes a little bit more difficult. But all those guys that I just mentioned are people that I think things are trending in the right direction for with Georgia. I will know. I want to add a little bit of a little story as well. And I've written about this at Dogs 24/7 before, but you mentioned the family and, you know, mom was emotional and you could tell that, you know, this was a really meaningful moment for the Short family. And I think one of the cool stories, and this gives you a little peek into who Kirby Smart is as a recruiter. And I think that, you know, I mentioned earlier, he decommitted from Alabama, and that day Kirby Smart was dropping his helicopter at Evans High School. And I really think that that day was a really important day for Mason Short and getting clarity, knowing, all right, Georgia really does have a special place for me. The relationship with Kirby Smart is different than I have with some other people. And the way that he describes it is Kirby Smart drops the helicopter down. He walks out. He shakes Mason Short's hand. He says, "Hey, Mason." And then, you know, essentially, or Mason's retelling of it, like, "Hey, Mason, bye, Mason," and beeline straight for mom and grandma. And he said that his, you know, Kirby spent about 30 minutes with each of them, talking to mom, talking to grandma, talking to his trainer as well, who apparently is a big Georgia guy and was, you know, happy to ask a lot of questions and things like that for Kirby Smart. But when Kirby left that day, I think that Mason Short realized, like, Kirby's not recruiting Mason Short. He's not recruiting the offensive lineman. Like, he's recruiting the Short family. He's recruiting everybody that's important to him. And, you know, he joked with me a few times, like, go scroll through my brother's phone, scroll through my aunt's phone. Like, you're going to find text messages from Kirby Smart on a regular basis because he really cares that much about buying into the entire family, not just me individually as a player. And so I think that really resonated with him on, I think it was January 16th. I think that was the day that Mason really probably realized, okay, Kirby Smart approaches all of this way differently than everybody else does. And I think that it just gives you a good little look into how Kirby Smart handles his business when he goes out into the field and is recruiting guys on visits.
It's a great example. And if you ever hear Kirby, especially when freshmen come in and, you know, I think about like KJ Bolden, he's asked about what the recruitment's like. He always mentions like the parents and he always talks about the relationships there because they do matter. And like you said, Ben, I mean, that was a great example of building those relationships. And obviously it winds up paying off for Georgia. We're going to take a quick break and come back. And good recruiting news on Friday, not so good recruiting news on Thursday with Matt Zollers deciding to commit to Missouri. So we're going to talk a little bit about that situation and what is next for Georgia at quarterback in the 2025 class.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Guys, as I mentioned before the break, Matt Zoller's deciding on Thursday to commit to Missouri. Seems like this really came down to the Tigers and the Bulldogs, but ultimately Eli Drinkwitz and the Tigers land the four-star quarterback from Pennsylvania. I'm going to start with you, Ben. Give us your read on how this played out and what you think is going to be next for Georgia as they try to sign a quarterback in the 2025 class.
Well, let's start with – Matt Zollers is a really talented quarterback. He's someone that obviously Georgia evaluated early in January, saw him, you know, Mike Bubba went to see him play basketball, really liked what he saw, offered, got him on campus within a week, got him on another visit right here at the end before he made his decision. And I think there was some optimism in Athens over the last several months that Matt Zollers would be the quarterback that would end up in Georgia's class. That obviously did not end up happening, and I think it's a credit to Eli Drinkwitz and Missouri for the commitment that they really gave to the Zollers family. I mean, you look at, I mean, right now or before Zollers made his commitment on Thursday, Missouri did not have a single commitment in the 2025 recruiting class, and they were only actively recruiting one quarterback in the 2025 cycle. So it was really a situation that Missouri could not afford to miss on Matt Zollers. They really couldn't. I mean, you look at Georgia, and for Georgia has less to do with who Matt Zollers is and, you know, the fact that they missed on him and what does it mean for Georgia quarterback recruiting going forward. And you look at Georgia, I mean, Georgia has been recruiting Julian Lewis for his entire recruitment, and he's been on campus multiple times this spring. He's already got an official visit scheduled to Georgia for May 31st to June 2nd, which we know is a high priority recruit type of weekend. And so, you know, Julian Lewis remains on the board, even though he's still committed to USC. Ryan Montgomery is someone that Georgia's been recruiting since the Todd Monken era at offensive coordinator, and they've continued that. He was on campus in January. He was back on campus for a spring practice visit at the end of March. He also has an official visit scheduled for the middle of June as well. And so all that to say, Georgia was not all of its eggs in one basket on quarterback recruiting like Missouri was. And so I think that when you look at some of the factors that this might have come down to and, you know, what mattered to Zollers, and I know that he referenced the immediate connection that he had with Drinkwitz and the other offensive coaches and the other players in the locker room at Missouri. I think that played a key factor in his decision. But, I mean, there's no doubt about it that, you know, Missouri felt as though they could not miss on Matt Zollers. And I think that while Georgia would have loved to have Matt Zollers, and even there was optimism really in the last 24 hours leading up to the decision, it was still a possibility. I think Georgia also realized that it wasn't going to go to, you know, any length necessary to bring in a quarterback commitment on April 4th. And so all of that to say, you know, it's a miss. It's someone that Georgia would have loved to have. It would have created a lot of clarity and probably some peace of mind so that you don't have to figure out the Julian Lewis recruitment. You don't have to figure out how do we communicate all of this to Ryan Montgomery as well. Do we need to reevaluate any other quarterbacks in the 2025 cycle in case, you know, Julian Lewis sticks with USC or he flips to Alabama and Ryan Montgomery commits to South Carolina or Florida, then what happens? That's the situation you don't really want to find yourself in. I mean, I think, you know, we talk about Georgia didn't put all its eggs in one quarterback basket. That's really what Georgia did in the 2023 recruiting cycle with Arch Manning. And I think that Georgia was wise to not let that happen again. Last cycle, obviously, they had two guys committed for as long as they did, so that even if things went haywire at the last minute, they still were bringing in a quarterback. This cycle, they've got, you know, really three guys. I mean, I've said for a while, I struggle to see a scenario where Zollers, Julian Lewis, or Ryan Montgomery doesn't end up in Georgia's class. Obviously, with Zollers committing to Missouri, the room for error on that is less than it was 24 hours ago. But, you know, I think that Georgia's still in good shape to land a quarterback in this class. I think that you're going to see, for lack of a better phrase, and I probably use this too much, a full court press on Julian Lewis. I mean, he's the in-state big-time prospect. He reclassified to 2025. Georgia has a really good relationship. He went on multiple game visits during the year. You know, we've talked about how during the junior day on February 30, him and his dad were sitting with Kirby Smart down in the, you know, premium seats at the basketball game, and he was back for a spring practice visit. So, I mean, I think that the efforts now certainly turn to getting Julian Lewis back on campus as many times as possible and really selling that he is the guy for the 2025 class, because now with Zollers in Missouri's class, you really have no choice but to really rev things up as much as possible with Julian Lewis. And, you know, that recruitment probably becomes a little bit more competitive. And, you know, we talk about Georgia not feeling like it needs to go to any length necessary to get Matt Zollers at this point in time. You know, it probably, when you start thinking about Julian Lewis, it probably does get a little bit more in the category of you got to go to any length necessary to try and bring him in, because you can't afford to go another cycle without landing a quarterback, even though, independent of all of this, I fully expect Georgia to pursue the transfer portal in some shape or form, whether that be the spring or whether that be after the 2024 season. I don't think that who they take in the 2025 class, I don't think having Jared Curtis in the 2026 class, I don't think any of that matters whatsoever when it comes to Georgia wanting to stack its quarterback room. But again, with Zoller's decision in hand, I think it really all eyes turn to Julian Lewis at this point.
Kip, what's your read on this quarterback situation in 2025, and how do you think it's going to wind up playing out for the Bulldogs?
Well, I think the timing actually works well in Georgia's favor. I mean, now you know where you stand with one of your top targets. You've actually established a pretty solid quarterback board that still the timelines work out great. I think you look at Juju Lewis, he's got one official visit set right now, Georgia, end of May. And he's been on campus multiple times. I mean, I don't want to assume too much. I think, you know, whether or not he's at Georgia's spring game or, you know, whether he's at Colorado, I'm not going to put it, you know, a huge value on that. It's obviously great to get him back on campus. And I think that, you know, whether or not they get him back on campus before that official visit, I don't think it's going to be the end of the world. They've had him again in town multiple times, but you realize that you're not competing against air here. You have Auburn and Alabama also battling to get them back on campus, and I think they will. I think those programs will get official visits too, but I also think that their timeline, and we're having to do a little bit of guesswork because their family, they're doing things, they've admitted, we're doing things our way. So trying to get a read on their recruitment and trying to project what they're going to do is kind of a fool's errand. But I do think that that timeline will be somewhat accelerated in that, for now, the air quote final decision, they'll try to have one, I think, you know, early, mid-June. I think they'll try to get through maybe three official visits out of the way and kind of say, we're either sticking with USC or, you know, we're going to choose one of these other programs. And for Georgia, I still think that works out great because, one, Bobo's going to have quarterbacks throw. I mean, again, the first couple weeks of June is huge. Georgia gets the prospect camp. Throwing, Mike Bobo puts a big value on that. Just ask Ryan Puglisi. I mean, just seeing him in person and seeing, you know, working with him just gives him a better eval point. And at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if Ryan Montgomery is one of those guys that comes in and throws ahead of his official visit. But the timing of his official visit's great for Georgia too, end of June. So, I mean, if you're looking at it, you know, they will probably have a good idea where they stand with Juju Lewis, at least heading into that official visit with Ryan Montgomery. And then on the back end, I mean, we just saw what happened with Dylan Raiola. You know, evaluations on the prospect side continue at the quarterback position, especially. He's, you know, Juju Lewis is going to continue to evaluate the programs he's looking at during the season. And if he stays with USC, you know, or picks another school and that school doesn't impress, you know, the family doesn't like what they're seeing on the field this fall, then, I mean, again, that recruitment probably continues, you know, into late into the cycle. So I think that's something else to consider as well, is that, you know, the whatever happens now might not be the ultimate end result. We've just seen that happen in the cycle. And I think if you're looking at these programs as far as stability and the product they're probably going to put on the field this fall, Georgia with Carson Beck, I think, you know, it's a pretty solid bet that Georgia's probably going to impress as far as the passing attack this fall. So I think that, again, yeah, Matt Zollers is, you know, outstanding prospect, but again, they're going to have a talented quarterback added to the program this cycle and probably moving forward. And also just to add to that, you know, enjoy Carson Beck this season, fans, because guys that stay in college that long, it's you're not going to see – that is not going to be the norm moving forward. I think that, again, getting a, you know, fourth- and fifth-year quarterback in your program, the value of that for Kirby Smart has been incredible. And I think you're going to see kind of the dividends of that in Georgia's offense this fall, which is going to help quarterback recruiting in this cycle.
All right, circle of trust between me, Kip, Ben, and, you know, just everyone watching live, everyone listening to this after the fact. Which 2025 quarterback does Georgia get? And I'm going to start. I'm going to say they get Ryan Montgomery. I think they're going to go really, really hard after Julian Lewis. I think they're going to, as Ben said, put that full court press on him. But I just ultimately am not convinced they're going to be able to flip Julian Lewis from USC. And even if Julian opens it back up, I could see Alabama getting upper hand, just not quite convinced. So I'm going to say Georgia winds up signing Ryan Montgomery, and I'm going to go to Kip next. Who of these quarterbacks do you think Georgia winds up signing in 2025?
Again, I think that chaos is, again, the most enjoyable part from my aspect of having seen almost everything in recruiting at this point. I think that, you know, just watching everything unfold from an entertainment factor. I think that Georgia will not get Juju Lewis in this recruitment, but they will get him in December. I think that, again, a late flip, maybe multiple flips, you know, happen with Juju Lewis, and he ultimately ends up in Athens after Georgia, you know, averages close to 42 points a game and Carson Beck throws for over 4,000 yards. Juju sees all he needs to see because there's also a solid defense in Athens that's never going to go away. And so I think that he's impressed by Georgia enough to know that's where his future should be and ultimately signs with Georgia.
All right. We got Kip and my picks out of the way. Now let's go to who's probably the most educated on the recruiting side. Ben, give us a prediction. What do you think?
We're less than 24 hours removed from me basically telling people for weeks that I thought Zollers was going to be Georgia's quarterback. So maybe I should just stick with that and go with Kip's theory of a late flip of Zollers to Georgia. I'm not going to do that. I think the Missouri's invested too much into him. And I think that the fact that he was their first commitment, there's a reason for all of that. They were very calculated in their approach and all of that. I guess I'm torn on this, and I'm probably a little gun shy because of some of the things I was hearing around Zollers and the fact that he didn't end up at Georgia. I think that Georgia will land Julian Lewis. I mean, I think that he's been at Georgia so many times. The fact that he has, and I raised my eyebrows when I've been thinking for a little while that Zollers was going to be Georgia's quarterback. And then when Julian Lewis scheduled that May 31st to June 2nd official visit to Georgia, I mean, you're not a guarantee to sign with Georgia if you're that weekend. I mean, Arch Manning was that official visit weekend when he was getting recruited by Georgia as well. So there are absolutely no guarantees. I mean, technically Dylan Raiola was that weekend too. But we also know that I think about 70 to 80% of the guys that were on visits that weekend last year ended up committing to Georgia. I just think that we're now at the point of the cycle where Georgia feels like it has to make a big splash at quarterback. And it's, you know, sort of initial option that it thought that it might land is not happening. And, you know, there were times, I mean, there was prodigy talk kind of around Julian Lewis very early in his high school career. And so I don't think that we should lose sight of the fact that he is one of the most talented quarterbacks in the country, regardless of class. And that's been the way that way for multiple years. So I feel like the amount of times that he's been back at Georgia in the last, let's say, 6 to 7 months is hard to ignore. Now, it hasn't just been Georgia. You mentioned Alabama, Jordan. I think that Alabama is a real threat there too. And then obviously the status quo, sticking with USC, where he was just out this past weekend. I think there's a real chance there too. But I'll say Georgia lands Julian Lewis at some point this summer.
I did appreciate not long after Matt Zoller's commitment that Julian Lewis tweeted a photo of him drinking some water. Just like, so
I will note, and I don't know, I can't say definitively that he was referencing Matt Zoller's announcement, but I will note he was tweeting popcorn emojis during the Jaden Maiava saga with USC and Georgia back in January. He tweets that photo, you know, immediately after the Zoller's commitment. I mean, he is clearly aware of what's going on as it relates to the Georgia quarterback situation, and I think that there's probably reasons for that.
I think that's a good point. Well, the nice thing is we got plenty of quarterback talk to continue. You know, Matt Zoller's could have ended all that for us, guys. Think about all the fun we get to have having this extended into the summer. We really got to thank Matt Zoller's for that, because that was a very selfless decision. Really helped out the Junkyard Dogcast. Before we get out of here, the Georgia Men's Basketball Minute. The Bulldogs season ended on Tuesday night, 84-67 loss to Seton Hall in the NIT semifinals, a Seton Hall team that wound up winning the NIT on Thursday night. It was a situation, as I wrote in that game, Seton Hall was the superior team. That was not a surprise. Give Georgia a lot of credit. It was both teams scored 42 points in the second half, so it's not like the Bulldogs just laid down. Season ends with a 20-17 overall record. Now we're into the offseason, seeing what happens here. We have yet to hear of anyone transferring out of the program. There's several guys that they've reached out to in the portal. They did lose Akeem Misdeen, one of the assistant coaches. He is going to Michigan, where he is reuniting with Dusty May, who he had coached with at Florida Atlantic. So a lot of moves already going on. It's going to be a very fascinating offseason for Georgia. But, you know, I wrote about this when I sort of summed up the season on Thursday. Disappointing regular season, but it ended on a high note with a very productive NIT run. And now it's up to Mike White and this staff to make the most of this offseason and try to put some pieces around Ace and Newell, see what they can do in year three. Ben, any thoughts on how this thing ended for Georgia as they get ready for another offseason?
Well, Seton Hall got snubbed from the tournament. Indiana State got snubbed from the tournament. So you could argue, and well, I guess Georgia probably wasn't supposed to be in the NIT anyways, but you could argue Georgia was the best team that was supposed to be in the NIT, because I don't think that the two teams that played for a title should have been. I don't think losing to Seton Hall's, I mean, Seton Hall beat UConn by 15 this year. So, I mean, I don't think losing to Seton Hall is, you know, something that you should really hang your head on. I think that it was a positive momentum into the season. And, you know, obviously losing some of the staff members, that staff continuity can cause a little bit of stress, especially this time of year, because I'm sure that there's a lot of roster management going on. And guys like Akeem, I always mess his name up, Miskadeen, he has relationships, obviously, on the roster that are going to matter when it comes to guys wanting to enter their name into the transfer portal and vice versa. So, you know, again, I think it was a positive end of the year. I think year two was, I don't want to say as successful as it could have been, because it always probably could have been more successful. But I think if your expectations for Georgia this year were higher than NIT semifinals, you probably had some unrealistic expectations. So I think that Georgia met the mark. I think that the big thing next year will be, you know, winning some of those games against top third of the league teams that they didn't do very often this year, aside from the South Carolina game.
Kip, any parting thoughts before we basically close the men's basketball minute, unless there's roster moves during these next few months?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously the roster changeover is the key. This offseason is going to be huge. I know, you know, you're looking at guys like Silas Dimery and you're wondering, okay, you know, is he going to stay at Georgia? You know, you probably lean towards no, but that's where those 50-50 games late in the season in conference play kind of still have an effect, because you got to get to the tournament. And, you know, you had the old days where you give a guy, you're like, hey, all right, give him 3 or 4 years to let him get his own guys in. This is not that era anymore. It is a transfer portal where you're flipping over half your roster or a lot of these teams. And you just look at, you know, NC State, a lot of the teams that made tournament runs, and they're built via the transfer portal. And so it's a huge offseason. I think Mike White needs to, you know, not just try to retain his top talent. You got to find some guys, some impact guys, because I lean on the opposite side of Ben. I think they somewhat underperformed. I think they got to the win total we kind of expect them to be at, but I thought that they should have, you know, the goal should have been to make the tournament, even if you get knocked out in the first round. You know, that was kind of where things should go in year two, because again, you just look around the SEC at some of the other programs, and they were able to do that in year two with, you know, comparable talent to begin with their new head coaches. So I think that, you know, you could just say that Georgia basketball, this is just how it's going to be, or you can say, you know, set the expectations higher and, you know, find a way, because, you know, it's tough to convince transfers to come in when you don't have that, you know, the NCAA tournament, run or just appearances to sell to them. The NIT kind of gave them just a little bit of a nudge in that direction, because they had some big wins. I mean, that Ohio State game was outstanding. And I think that's kind of what you have to use to say, we're on the cusp of doing something here. You can kind of be that impact guy. And that's what he has to do all offseason, is say that to the guys that he likes on his own roster, but then also just, you know, don't let your guys get poached. Try to find some upgrades that aren't going to turn the ball over or go cold in the second half. And, you know, make that tournament run next year. 21 wins should be the goal, at least for next season. And there's no reason why Georgia basketball can't do that, even though we've been saying that for decades.
To Kip's point, when you look at some of the other coaches that came in at the same time as Mike White, Dennis Gates at Missouri, they made the tournament the first year. Chris Jans at Mississippi State, they've made the tournament both years. This year, Lamont Paris at South Carolina, super good season, made it to the NCAA tournament. So I think it's a fair point to point that out. Georgia in that group is one of the teams that did not make the tournament. And I do think that that's a fair expectation going into year three. Well, we are going to wrap up the podcast right there. I appreciate everyone who watched this live, everyone who is watching or listening to it after the fact. If you haven't already, go to dogs247.com. Subscribe. We've got all kinds of team intel. Georgia getting ready for another scrimmage on Saturday. We've also got all the recruiting news for 2025 and beyond. Also, go to YouTube, dogs247. You can watch these podcast episodes, Kirby Smart press conferences, player interviews, as we get closer and closer to G-Day. Also go to TikTok, where we got video over there, and going to have a few more posts over the weekend. So for Kip Adams and Ben Wolk, I'm Jordan Hill. Until next time, take care, everybody.